They are each an uswa, a role model. We've got to look at them as role models. Sometimes the way we look at the Ahlul Bayt, we try to understand the Ahlul Bayt, we speak of the Ahlul Bayt, we read their history. It's simply to know time pass, you know, or pastime, just to read something. It could have been a novel, it could have been watching television, it could have been watching sports, it could have been playing sports. This time we felt like reading this. It's something about the Ahlul Bayt. And that shouldn't be the approach. The approach should be that we are trying to see who the Ahlul Bayt were in order to learn from them. In order to make that happen in us, hopefully that is something that we try to do. We change the way we look at the Ahlul Bayt. We change the way that we set up our programs. We come, recite a salawat, please. We've got to change the way that we look at the Ahlul Bayt. The way we attend these programs, the reasons why we set up these programs. I was thinking, and I mentioned this in another session as well. Have you ever heard the word sha'air? You say the reason why you get together, you commemorate Muharram, is because what you're doing is ta'zeemu sha'air, right? Upholding sha'air. Sha'air is the plural of shi'ar. Okay. And shi'ar means a sign, a banner. You put up these signs or these banners to guide you the path. That's what a shi'ar is. You're trying to figure out what direction to take. You have these nice signs. They have written them very clearly up on the highway. You know, if you want to take this exit, you want to go to Washington, this is the path you take. You want to go to Buffalo, it's the other one, and so on and so forth. These signs are there to show you where to go. In the verse of the Holy Quran, when God talks about Sha'airullah, in a couple of instances, He says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شعائر الله, that is من عزم الأمور. That is very important. One of the most important things. تعظيم الشعائر. When you look at the tafsir of that, when you look at the context of the verses, you realize that what is being referred to as شعائر are divine laws, rules, instructions. These rules and instructions, this prayer, this fasting, this hajj, how to treat your spouse, your children, your parents, your relatives, how to treat non-Muslims. We have rules and regulations. There's a lot of rules and regulations. These rules and regulations are sha'a'illah. They are the guidelines. If you want to get to Allah, these are the signs that have been posted. Follow them, you will get to where you need to. Ta'zeemu sha'air is respecting those signs. Now, Muharram, Fatimiyya, these various occasions that we commemorate the shahadat of the Ahlul Bayt, the martyrdoms of the Ahlul Bayt, these are considered sha'air, and what we're doing is ta'zeem al-sha'air. The Ahlul Bayt are sha'ar. They are, in fact, the greatest of them. A'lam al-tuqa. In Ziyarah Jama'a Kabira, we read. A'lam al-tuqa. They're the standards that have been set. The brightest lights that guide us the path. what they do, everything that they do, is guiding us the path, is showing us where we need to go. These programs are supposed to be ta'zeem al-sha'air. In other words, first we're trying to figure out what that sha'ar is saying. What is this sign telling us? What is this banner telling us? What does it say? You see a sign from afar, just knowing there's a sign there isn't sufficient. It's not good. It's not enough. You got to read the sign. What does the sign say? Otherwise, it doesn't guide you. If you don't read the sign, it doesn't guide you. You don't know where to go. Only if you read it, you figure out, okay, you know, this is north, this is south. You got to read that sign. You don't read the sign, then okay, there's a sign. Beautiful, nice, it's green, great. What next? You have to read it first. Then you follow it. I'm like, okay, it's south. It says south, you take the right, and you go left if you want to go north, but you go the opposite direction. You're not going to get guided. It said if you want to go south, you turn right, not left. It's funny. Yesterday we're driving up here. You know, we're not from New York, so we're using the the GPS. And sometimes, because these are not real signs, the Ahlul Bayt are real signs. The GPS is saying, I'm looking at it in the picture. It's showing that I'm supposed to turn left, and then the lady's voice that they have says, turn right. I'm like, okay, do I turn right or do I turn left? And we ended up turning right, and it was wrong. Unfortunately, yeah. Who do you follow, right? It's not clear. They don't have a male voice on there, unfortunately. Recite a salawat, please. You have to know what the sign says, then follow it. Ta'zeem al-sha'air is figuring out what the Ahlul Bayt have done, what they have said, understanding it, and then following it. This is ta'zeem al-sha'air. Not coming together, beating our chest. If we come together and we beat our chest, those emotions create a motivation for us to follow the Ahlul Bayt. That's great. That's what this poetry is about. In order to show us what the Ahlul Bayt are saying in an effective way, bringing out the emotions which motivates us to follow them. Otherwise, if it's just relieving ourselves from the emotional stress from various things that happen on a daily basis, the problems that we face, we're trying to get some relief. What do? Put on a noha or masa'ib or whatever, shed some tears, we feel relieved, now get back to life. No. The reason why we express emotions is to create more and more motivation to move in the right direction. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Ta'zeem al-sha'air. So if we take that, if we have that understanding now, and I hope I repeated this line because I feel it's really important. We admire the Ahlul Bayt, but as historic figures, we're not doing ta'zeem al-sha'air. We're not considering them as uswa. If we would, we wouldn't live our lives the way we are. Is that reading? As I said, I gave that example. God helped us with this example. I think it's parable. We see that sign, we say, oh, it's a beautiful sign, it's green. We don't read, look, north, south. What direction is it giving you? Or we are like, oh, it says this way, the other way. We don't follow it. Got to change that. We really have to change that, inshallah. Now, I want to talk about one dimension of the life of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra that is really that is really, really extremely important. In fact, it is so important that we are supposed to commemorate that important dimension every year. Her shahada. The reason why her shahada is something that's supposed to be commemorated is because her shahada, her martyrdom, is a sha'ar. We have to do ta'zeem. Okay. But do we understand this sha'ar? Have we read it? What is the meaning of the Shahada of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra? Why was she martyred? Why? Why is her grave still unknown to us? Why? Why did she say, bury me at night? Why did she say, I don't want certain people in my funeral? Why? This is very important for us to understand. This is in fact why we've gotten together here. We need to understand what happened. The reason why things happen. Not to just know, oh, this happened historically. No, because it's something that's a shahar today. Why did the Lady Fatima al-Zahra did? Why did she do what she did? Why? What is it exactly that she did? Whether it's the issue of Fadak, the land that her father gave her during his life, whether it's the lecture she gave in the mosque of the Holy Prophet, the way she walked into that gathering, a lot of the details of that history we're missing out on. The way she walked in left an impact. The way she spoke, her language. She was able to bring all of the people there to tears. She made them all cry. Why? What was she trying to do? When she stood there at her house, when they came to the door, what exactly was she trying to do? What is her objective? This is very relevant to us. There are a few things that we say and we have to analyze. There are certain things that we hear when we talk about that. Right? This is not the first time you're asking yourself that question. This is not the first time that you're hearing this. I hope not. But we have to try to delve deeper, try to develop further understanding. Some say it's because she wanted to protect the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'minin. Right? Have you heard that? The wilaya of Amir al-Mu'minin. She wanted to make sure people realize the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the imam of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Say salawat, please. So what? She is trying to make sure that it is recorded in history that Amir al-Mu'mineen was the one that the Holy Prophet mentioned to be Man kuntu mawla fahada aliyun mawla. Is that she gave her life for that to be recorded in history? What does it mean when we say the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen? What is the meaning of the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen? What is the meaning of the imamah of Amir al-Mu'mineen? What does it mean when we say to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, have you analyzed the word? Have we analyzed that word? What is that supposed to mean? Do you think if the Lady Fatima al-Zahra had not gone through that process, it wouldn't have been recorded in history that Amir al-Mu'mineen was the one who was appointed by the Prophet to be guiding people? Was the Lady Fatima al-Zahra trying to tell us, look, after the Prophet, you're supposed to be looking towards Amir al-Mu'mineen to receive religious guidance? That's what we understand as wilaya, right? We say you don't go to Malik, you don't go to Abu Hanifa, you don't go to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, you don't go to Shafi'i, you go to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi. were known as Ja'fari, right? Our school of thought is known as Ja'far. Okay, so did she lose her life in order that we refer to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq for Salat and Saum and Hajj and all of that? Is that what she lost her life for? I don't think so. Is that something, if we want to analyze it, if we want to realize that, if we want to realize what happened, why she did what she did, what she was trying to accomplish, you've got to look at the scene. Was the dispute after the Prophet a dispute about who's going to provide guidance regarding Salat and Saum after the Prophet? They gathered in Saqifa to talk about who is the most knowledgeable. You know the conflict that we have here about Marja'iyah, who's the most knowledgeable, right? So they were trying to do this in Saqifa. They gathered together, who's the most knowledgeable? So we can go and refer and get our fiqh from. Is that what they were trying to do? Did anybody suggest there that the first Khalifa, according to others, is more knowledgeable than Amir al-Mu'mineen? I don't see that in history. I don't see that in history. In fact, what you find in history is that on multiple occasions, the second Khalifa has said, if it wasn't for the guidance that came from Ali, the halaka, that person. Knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen. أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا. Amir al-Mu'mineen is Babul Ilm of the Prophet. The knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen is not disputable. That wasn't disputed. Nobody discussed that in Saqifa. When they proposed other figures, when they proposed Sa'd ibn Ubadah in Saqifa, they said Sa'd ibn Ubadah is one of our chiefs. The two clans in Medina, one of them was led by Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Some proposed, let's pledge allegiance to Sa'd ibn Ubadah, the Ansar. They got together in that Saqifa. They didn't say Sa'd ibn Ubadah is more knowledgeable than Amir al-Mu'mineen. We need to refer to him for guidance there. That wasn't the conversation. What was the conversation? The conversation was who is going to rule. Who's going to rule? Who's going to take government? Who's going to control the affairs of the Muslimin? Government. You're in a presidential campaign right now, right? There's a race going on. They're fighting, bad-mouthing each other. Right? Who's going to rule? That's the question. Okay. That's the dispute. Amir al-Mu'mineen is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir means commander. You've read the translation, commander of the faithful. We read that, we just think, oh, commander of the faithful. What in the world does commander of the faithful mean? The commander of the faithful means the ruler, the governor, the one that is supposed to be ruling over the believers. It's the matter of government. The Holy Prophet in Ghadir didn't only say, Man kuntu mawla, fahadha aliyun mawla. For us to dispute, what is the meaning of mawla? Does it mean friend? Does it mean this? Does it mean that? Although it's clear what it means, but it's not even dependent on that. The Holy Prophet, according to the accounts, had people pledge allegiance to Ali ibn Abi Talib as Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's supposed to be the Amir. That's what the issue was. The lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, did whatever she could and was in her capacity to try to keep the people from going astray. The Prophet had said, Ali ibn Abi Talib is the Amir after me. The Holy Prophet himself was the Amir, was the governor, was the ruler, was the one with authority. At his time, after the Prophet, it was supposed to be Ali ibn Abi Talib. People started moving in the wrong direction. They thought it's not important. Who cares about government? Who cares who rules? Whatever. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra said, no, not whatever. It's not such. It is so important that it deserves Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen to sacrifice her life for it. That's how important it is. Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, the one that can only be compared to Amirul Mu'mineen. The one that the Imam of our time says, she is an Uswa. We read the hadith last night. This lady has to sacrifice her life to try to do whatever is in her capacity to make sure that the government remains with the right and truthful governor. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, the one that the Holy Prophet wants. The issue of government is really important. Who governs is really important. We're trying to learn from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. We're trying to do ta'zeem al-sha'air. We're trying to read that sign first. The first part of this sign is, look, people, believers, Shia, if you consider yourself Shia, if you consider yourself Shia to Ali ibn Abi Talib, government is important in Islam. It is so important that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra gives her life. The right government, the government of the Ahlul Bayt, is that important. The next part of this sign on the same topic. In order to have that government, we need to learn from her. We've got to be willing to sacrifice your life for the government of the Ahlul Bayt. That's difficult to learn, difficult to do. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Amirun, did you know, you've probably heard, let me put this out. Amir al-Mu'mineen was told by the Holy Prophet, you're the ruler. Ruling is the responsibility of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen took that very seriously. But the Holy Prophet told him, if you have enough supporters, then take on government. If you don't, be patient. And you won't, so be patient. Then he told him, this is going to happen, be patient. That is going to happen, be patient. Amir al-Mu'mineen would say, I will be patient. Until the Holy Prophet said, they will disrespect your wife, be patient. Amir al-Mu'mineen paused. He said, it's difficult, but I will be patient. That was a difficult one. If you have enough supporters, and Amir al-Mu'mineen did whatever he could to gather supporters. He already knew it's not going to be effective, but he tried. He tried. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, they went to the doors of the Ansar, one by one. Were you not there in Ghadir? Do you not remember the pledge? It took time. They convinced them. 40 people were required. 40 only. How many people do we have in Medina? How many were the Ansar? Many more. Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted 40 people. He convinced 40 people the night before to come out. And it was obvious these people were willing to kill. You're coming out tomorrow, dressed in white. So we have this symbol out, right? So 40 people dressed in white, heads shaven. Make an impression. Next day, five, six people. Who's got to go protect Amir al-Mu'mineen? The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. Okay. In order to have the government of the Ahlul Bayt established, you've got to have, at that time, 40 people that would be willing to sacrifice their lives. Amir al-Mu'mineen would have taken government from the unjust rulers. All right. This is very relevant to us, brothers and sisters. You and I have an imam today. I don't know how much we realize this. I tried to make a point regarding this last night as well. We have a living imam, a leader that is supposed to be governing, right? And we're waiting on him, supposedly. Inshallah, you guys are waiting. I can't consider myself someone who's waiting on the imam. Yeah, you know, someone who's kicked back, relaxed. Inshallah, the imam's going to come. He's going to do this, that, the other. Yeah, I can consider myself one of those. But that's not someone who is muntadir. That's not what the Prophet says. The Prophet has this line. He says, good tidings to those that follow the leadership of the imam before his coming. Right? We have a living imam that has been living in hiding, in secrecy, for over 1,000 lunar years. One of the lines that we have about the imam of our time, brothers and sisters, in Dua Nutba, I hope we read Dua Nutba at least every now and then. Read it. أَيْنَ الْمُضْطَرُّ الَّذِي يُجَابُ إِذَا دَعَى. The imam is referred to as مُضْطَر. مُضْطَر. مُضْطَر is someone that is in desperation. Try living in secrecy for one day. Try. No one knows who you actually are. I am 110% sure none of us know what it feels like. We can't even conceptually comprehend what it means to live in secrecy for a day. 1,000+ years, because he hasn't disappeared, brothers and sisters. We got to get that straight. He's living right here in this world with you and I, in our cities, not in the Bermuda Triangle. Not on some other planet, right here on earth, in our cities, in secrecy. Right? So you have an imam such. You think Abu Abdullah al-Husayn on the day of Ashura was muzhtar? He was desperate? He didn't have any support? Your imam is waiting for support. Right? If after the demise of the Holy Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen was waiting for 40 people to support him, the imam of your time is waiting for people to support him. What type of support? The Lady Fatima al-Zahra has showed us. You have to be willing to give your life for this government. That's the bottom line. That's what you have to learn. Let me give you this one last line in case we have questions about this analysis. Maybe you're thinking, what type of a upside down analysis of the scene is this? You're concluding that we've got to be willing to sacrifice our lives for the government of the Ahlul Bayt. Well, you don't accept this analysis. I'll give you dua. Have you read Dua al-Ahd? Inshallah, some of us at least. Hopefully all of us. Hopefully we read it on a regular basis. Allahumma inni ujaddidu lahu fi sabihati yawmi hadha وفي كل يوم عهدا وعقدا وبيعة له في عنقي. A pledge of allegiance with the Imam. After we pledge that pledge of allegiance, we ask Allah, make me some of the helpers of the Imam. And then we end that by saying, والمستشهدين بين يدي. Those who lose their lives they're teaching us. Ziyarat Ashura, Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin. What's the mamata of Muhammad and ali Muhammad? Hadith says none of us died natural deaths. They fought. They were going through mujahada. And that's why they were killed by the enemies. They were willing to sacrifice their lives. This is an important lesson, brothers and sisters. If we learn this lesson, if the Shia learn this lesson, the more we learn this lesson, the closer we are going to get to the government of the Imam of our time. Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. There's a direct connection between Fatimiyya and the coming of the Imam of our time. Did you know that? Have you heard Lady Fatimatu Zahra called out her son's name? She was the first to start in this path. Her son, the Mahdi, is going to be finalizing the movement. She started it. If the Shia learn this lesson, if the believers learn this lesson, if we move in that direction, we're going to get closer and closer. The reason why the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, is seeing the victories that it is seeing, part of that being the security that you're seeing in Iraq, in the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt, in Samirra, how many of you went to Arba'een this year? I hope at least some of you. We had the tawfiq of being there in Arba'een. It was amazing. We went to Samirra. Daesh is in Iraq. Why is it so safe to go to Samirra? Isn't Samirra Sunni stronghold? By the way, Daesh is against Sunnis as well. This is not a Shia-Sunni war. Let's understand that. That's what others want to make it seem like. Why is it that there's so much peace and security in Iraq? 20, there's different figures, 23, 26, 28, 30 million people came to Iraq. They walked, whether it's from Baghdad to Najaf, to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala, from Basra to Karbala. They walked these great distances. They are sitting ducks. You can easily get rid of them. If you want to create a massacre, you can easily do that, right? Unless there's someone protecting it. The reason why we have this safety, the reason why we have this security, the reason why now we have this accomplishment is because there are believers, especially young ones, that are sacrificing their lives. Okay. They have understood that. For the government of the Ahlul Bayt, we don't want the kuffar to rule over us. We are willing to sacrifice our lives. We're not going to ask others to come and protect us. We are willing to sacrifice our lives. When we learn this lesson, we have peace and security. Okay. Now we can say, Ya Baqiyatullah, we have secured Kufa for you. And we can say that. We got to learn that lesson. The more we are, the more we have this mentality and this understanding, the closer we're going to be to the coming of the Imam of our time. We hope that we're going to learn this lesson from Fatimiyyah. Inshallah. Assalamu alaykum ya ahla bayt an-nubuwwah. Assalamu alaykum. يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة وبهبط الواحي ومعدن الرحمن وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, angels descend upon you, day in and day out, seeking permission before entering upon you. Take your heart to Medina in search of the lost grave of the mother of the Imam of our time. Wherever you are buried, assalamu alayki ya Fatimatu Zahra. As-salamu alayki ayyatuha al-mazlumatu shahida. Al-maghsubatu haqqaha. المكسورة ضلعها May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Lady Fatima al-Zahra. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed lady, the one whose rights were usurped.
Muhammad, the one whose ribs were broken. صلى الله عليك. Although today is the day after the Shahada, because of our topic, I want to discuss a scene. How willing she was, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, to sacrifice her life for Amir al-Mu'mineen. You've heard the story of the door and the wall. When they knock down the door, sallallahu alayk, I don't know exactly what happened there. I don't want to think about the metal nails in that wall, in that door, what the fire did with those metal nails. I don't know exactly what happened. All I know is a call was heard, Ya Fiddatu Khudini, Fidda, help me. According to some accounts, there was so much pain, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra passed out. I said all of this so that we understand what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra had been to up to this point. Imagine this lady, salamullahi alayha, coming back. She's conscious again. They've taken Amirul Mu'mineen to the masjid. Imagine what pain she's going through. She's lost her muhsin. What should be her thought process? What should be her question? What would she be asking? Fidda, should she be asking what happened to her muhsin? Should she be talking about her pain? They say the only question she asked was, Aina Ali? Where's Ali? She went to the masjid to protect Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. It's a time of Maghrib. It's the time for dua. Very briefly, I'll mention a few duas. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك بسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. Allah, hasten the return of our Imam. Enable us to be of his true and close companions. Ya Allah, protect all those who are protecting Islam, the Muslimin, those who are protecting the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt, those who are putting their lives on the line. Ya Allah, protect our ulama, our maraja. Ya Allah, protect especially our leader. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. Ya Allah, we all have hajat, we have needs, we have requests. There are ill from amongst our community members, other community members, other Shias, followers of the Ahlul Bayt, lovers of the Ahlul Bayt worldwide. There are believers that are suffering from various difficulties under the tyranny of the tyrants. Ya Allah, by the right of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, grant all of us and all believers their hajat, relieve all the ill from their illness, relieve all the people from the sufferings and hardships that they are facing. النبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
الله